from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Here on KFH. My name is Paul Savage, along with Jacob Albrecht, who will be joining us in just a moment. Big day in sports, all kinds of things going on. Friday, the World Series starts. And by the way, could you ask for two greater teams? I mean, these are icons. This might be one of the best World Series as we have seen in a while. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees, two iconic teams. It's going to be a lot of fun. Probably, I believe we could say, and Jacob will be joining us here in just a moment or two, but I think I could say, if I was to make the statement to you, Jad, if I said, you know something, the two best baseball players right now at this moment in all of baseball is Ohtani and Judge, would you not agree? Because you're shaking your head, kind of, yeah, you would agree.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I'm shaking my head. Yes, I think we can make a case for that. And part of the beautiful part about that, Jacob, is obviously that two of the iconic teams of baseball going into a World Series. How can you not love that? Here's my hope. Can I give you my hope, Jacob? Here's my hope. This goes seven games. That's what I want. I want it to go seven games. I want to see these two iconic teams battle it out for seven games. That's just what I hope. It doesn't go four and it's done. I want to see a World Series of consequence, and this is stacking up to be one of those kind of series. Oop, Jacob's gone again. Well, we'll just get him right back. But my point is, once we get to that World Series, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that particular game. Last night we had two games in the NFL. One of the games that I really enjoyed getting some glimpses of. I didn't get to see the whole game, but got close to seeing quite a bit of this particular game. That was the Ravens and the Buccaneers, and you know, Lamar Jackson. He just amazes me. I don't want to think that he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, partly because of the way he plays. I mean, his style of football. You know, I always worry from game to game about, you know, injury. He's that kind of player that can happen, and we see those kind of injuries all the time on quarterbacks that run. I mean, look at the Washington Commanders and Jalen Daniels. We're looking at him. You know, that was one of the big worries. I thought to myself, here's a young man that's going to come into this league. He's really, 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 really good. And so it's one of those things where I worry about a guy like Lamar Jackson getting hurt. Jacob, I just think that
he took a couple shots. You got me now, Paul. Sorry about that.
No problem, Jacob.
So happy to be here with you. We'll get into Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into a little bit of the World Series, all of these things. Monday Night Football is very interesting to me because of the Ravens. I want to tell you that the IHOP hotline is open. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with all new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. And I think that's interesting today because of what we saw last night from the Ravens. Where do people stack the Chiefs and the Ravens at the top of the AFC? I know the obvious answer there. They played each other, but it's obviously a gray area and not a black and white question. So we'll get into that a little bit as we make our way through today. A lot of interesting stuff to get to. Tua Tagovailoa is coming back for Miami. What do we think of that decision from him? I would tell you, just on the surface, I think it's his decision to make. The NBA is back tonight. We got all kinds of good stuff coming for you, and we're happy to be here with you, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And
forgive my raspiness. I have something in my throat.
All right.
I don't know what it is, but we'll be all right. We'll survive
it. My suggestion would be honey
and hack.
Yeah, my suggestion would be a little bit of honey and some HTO. That I mean, just a
big, we do have hot tea. HTO. And it is delicious.
Put a little honey in it, and you're good to go.
Yeah, we'll be good to go. We're ready to rock and roll. So let's talk about Monday Night Football, Paul.
All right.
I love when they have two. I'm all in on the two games at once thing. I think it's pretty awesome. I like it. I hope it's something that continues in the NFL. I don't see why not. And the Ravens come into that thing, and we've seen the Ravens stumble this year, right? They lost the opener, and they feel like they should have won it, and all those things. They were going to go for two, and who knows if they'd have made it. And then they lost to the Raiders. You're like, well, wait, what? What was that? But then since then, they have wins over Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Washington, Tampa. So you're looking at a stretch here. Not only have the Ravens won those last five, but they have played a really tough schedule in that stretch. And say what you will about Dallas, right? Buffalo, that's a huge. They beat Buffalo by 25. They took Cincinnati on the road to overtime. They beat Washington, who's this up-and-comer, right? Tampa last night. Tampa had a really unfortunate night that we'll get to. But the Ravens are really, really good. And Lamar is in peak Lamar form. Right now, got to be the odds-on favorite to go back-to-back on an MVP. Would you, though, right now, knowing everything that we know, knowing that they're mostly healthy, the Chiefs are not, they're far from it. If we're power ranking the AFC right now, they have two losses, but is there a case to be made that you could power rank them ahead of the Chiefs? I think that there is. I don't know that I would do it. It doesn't matter, of course. And you just look at it, and I think this becomes a really interesting way to look at it, because as we look at it, you've got to think about playing them in the postseason, right? If you're the Chiefs right now, if I'm the Chiefs, like everything I'm doing is pretty much I'm looking at what's in my way of another Super Bowl. Well, Tampa's not in the way anymore. The team they get to play, the good fortune in a lot of ways continues for the Chiefs. They get to now play the Buccaneers in a couple of weeks, Paul. And the Buccaneers probably won't have Godwin. They probably won't have Evans.
Beat up.
So,
yep.
You look at the Ravens and what they're doing, and you have to imagine as you're making any decisions to try to make this team better, because the Chiefs injury news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. They're now down their corner. Watson, Juju's not going to play this weekend. So that means you're starting with your fourth string wide receiver in the game. You have to, I think about that stuff and look at it through the lens of, okay, What are we looking at? Yeah, we're 6-0. That's great. We're 6-0. Awesome. But what does that mean to win a Super Bowl? And I think when you have that conversation, you got to start it with the Ravens right now, at least in the AFC, because Derrick Henry's finding a groove. Mm-hmm. And okay, the Chiefs have been really good against the run. And I'm in on that too, by the way. But if you are able to stop Derrick Henry, Lamar's never looked better as a passer. He's probably never had more options, more legitimate options in the passing game than he has this year. And their defense isn't spectacular, but it's pretty good and will get better. And the thing that they have done really well is stop the run. And that's what the Chiefs need to do to win playoff games. When that's their style right now is to run the ball. So I don't know how much we look back at week one, because the Chiefs have lost since that game. They've lost Isaiah Pacheco. They've lost Rashi Rice. They don't have Juju right now. They're down their second best corner. Like, I think you have to consider all that stuff when you look and evaluate what the Chiefs need to be doing in the couple of weeks that they have before a trade deadline to try to get better. And the answer to that may be nothing, because it's hard to make trades in season in the NFL. We know that. But I do think you have to look at the Ravens that way and think about it that way. You can't just sit here and say, yeah, well, we're 6-0 and we beat them in week one. Week one was a lifetime ago at this like point.
It. Yeah. Well, that was very nice. That was very well done. That was a nice sequitory, whatever it was. It was very, very cogent. It made a lot of sense. But you know something, Jacob? I hate to bring this up, but you did not mention the name Patrick Mahomes. You didn't bring that. I don't believe, unless I missed it, you did not mention the name Patrick Mahomes. When you're a football team and you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who I think is the best player in all of the NFL at this moment, going into this game week, I think he's the best player in the NFL. You didn't mention him. And when you have that, there's a reason why you are undefeated. There's a reason why the Chiefs are the only, let me point that out, only NFL team left still undefeated. You got to buy a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes. I think that's worth mentioning. I think that's, I'm making a point that you have a lot of good points. But right now, the defending championships, the two-time defending world champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, have a player by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Last I've heard, he's healthy. He's ready to go. He's going to play this weekend. That's the last I heard. I know no other reason why he's not playing. And have him, you've got
–
Do you? Because you – okay. Well, that's all
and I'm not saying.
I think you're getting out over your skis just a tad.
I would not bet against the Chiefs. I'm the same person who last year, Paul, when the sky was falling for a lot of Chiefs fans, that said, you got to chill. This is actually a team that's built to win in the postseason. Mm-hmm. They play really good defense. They have Mahomes. They have Kelsey. They can run the ball. They'll be fine.
Okay.
Same guy who said that. Same guy who still feels that way right now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
However, that team last year was not dealing with the crazy list of injuries that this team is dealing with right now.
I hear you.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. Bad news for the Chiefs on the injury front yesterday. It all goes hand in hand. It's funny to me. Like, me saying I think the Chiefs need to do something to try to improve the roster to make up from these injuries. Like, there is a very large portion of Chief fans, Chief media, that would take that as this like personal offense. How could you say that? Like, they're the best. And I'm like, okay.
I think I just did that, didn't I?
You did. Like, I'm like, yeah. Like, don't take offense to me saying I think they need to go make a couple of moves here, because we'll explain. We'll continue the conversation. The Ravens doing what they did last night, the way that they did it, I think intensifies it for me. But we'll come back. We'll have more Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage. We got lots of good stuff. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning at KFH. More Sports Daily coming right at you. Portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Coming up, fall at the club. Still golfing, as we tell you. Tennis events like Glow in the Dark Triples. It's a one-time-a-year special event for the Halloween season you don't want to miss. The indoor courts get blacked out. Tennis court net are illuminated via black light, high energy, fast-paced, a great workout, and you can play triples. Part of a team of three or four.
There you go.
Taking on other teams of three or four, rotating after every point. Voting for the best costume. Prize is available for first and second. Music will be playing on the courts. That's the kind of stuff we tell you about over at Crestview. Just because the weather changes doesn't mean the fun doesn't continue at Crestview. Give them a call. Check out their membership deals. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Paul, we're talking.
I was just going to say the one thing that's obvious to me, the last 3 weeks have probably been some of the best golf weather that we've had around here for a full year. Tremendous golf weather. I'm just saying, boy, what a reason to go out to Crestview and get some golf in. Have you played some golf in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
I got about 7 holes in a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm doing a Top Golf charity thing for the Hadwins, which we had them in a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
That'll be with Tommy.
You.
And then there's a Special Olympics charity event this coming Monday, which is you're in for me here. So and that'll probably be my grand finale, maybe one more round. It is really hard in the fall to find to play
but
golf.
It's so beautiful. I mean, that was my point. You know?
I know that's the problem. It's the best time of year to play, but it's impossible.
Right.
We now have, Paul, starting tonight, as I coach my daughter's fourth grade basketball team, we will now have kids' activities 7 nights a week. All 7 nights. have something. I guess Sunday nights don't, but we're also in birthday party season as school starts. So literally 7 days a week, like it's kids stuff. So fall is hard, but this is what I mean. Like the tennis stuff, my wife's playing tennis. I mean, I think maybe right now, like anytime she gets away and has like an hour in between shifts and kids,
good for her.
She runs over there and plays tennis.
Good.
I might go hit the range. That's what that kind of stuff is why we've really liked
Crosby. Attaboy. Good for
you. Give him a call. Paul, we're talking Chiefs. So this is so funny because Tommy would have done the same thing to me you just did. When I watch and again, I'm not picking against the Chiefs, not betting against the Chiefs, not doing any of that. I'm just laser focusing on a Super Bowl. Last year, when everything was going wrong and they were losing games, and that didn't happen yet, by the way. They were 6-1 to start last year. But when that was happening, you're just looking to the Super Bowl. Now, we had already passed the trade deadline and all of those things, and they didn't really need to do anything to the roster last year. They just needed to play better, right? And so you looked at it, and you're like, okay, well, they've got this – all of a sudden, they have this great defense. They can run the ball. They have Mahomes and Kelsey, and Rashi Rice was ascending, right? So it was like, for me, I was like, that's a team that's built to win in the postseason. And then I look at this year, and it is still a team that's built to win in the postseason. And the biggest difference right now is the Chiefs are playing really well, all things considered, right? They're not making mistakes. They are turning the ball over too much, but they're not penalties. And I think the turnovers are partly due to the fact that they have to try to make up for roster deficiencies and be a little more aggressive. Mahomes does, but he leads the league in interceptions right now. Paul, what if I told you that Travis Kelce's averaging, I don't know, it's something like 4 catches and 40 yards a game right now, easily the slowest start to his career since he's become kind of the guy. What if I told you they'd be down Isaiah Pacheco, Rashi Rice, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster? Now they get the news of Watson, and he left the game with injury. Jalen Watson in a cast. It doesn't sound like that's good. He may be done for a while. They don't have Isaiah Pacheco. Patrick Mahomes leads the league in interceptions. Patrick Mahomes is by quarterback rating the 22nd ranked quarterback this year in football. All of those things, and I told you they were 6-0. I think you can look at that a lot of ways. You can look at it and say, well, what about when some of those things aren't the case? They're going to be that much better. And I totally agree with that, by the way. But I think you do have to look at it and remember that Bengals game was razor thin. The Ravens game was razor thin. The Falcons game was razor thin. They've had a lot of good fortune this year. And so I don't want to be blinded by that either. I do think that if they can, they should add to the roster any way that they can. It's a different year. You're going for history. You can go all in more than you normally would. And all in's relative. They're not going to go trade a bunch of crazy. They're not going to go make a bunch of crazy trades, but they can be more aggressive maybe than normal at a time like this, because you're trying to make history. This may be it for Kelce, right? Like all of these things are there for you to kind of push it all in, I think, a little bit this year. And I do think it's okay. And Chiefs fans, Chiefs media, like always ready to be on the attack anytime anybody says something about the Chiefs. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like the Chiefs are great. They're 6-0, right? That doesn't mean they can't be better. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be paying attention to what's happening around us. Mm. And what's happening around us is that the Ravens look awesome. And the Steelers with Russell Wilson looked awesome. And the Texans are ascending and all of these things. And we have to think about that thing, about things that way. If they went with the roster that they have now into the playoffs, how good do you feel about that?
Well, you make a great point. I mean, you've made several great points. And the first point is that two stats that you gave would just jump out at me. And that is Kelce. And that is, he's turned 35 now. He is certainly not making those spectacular plays that we would come on the radio on a Monday and say, did you see, Kelce, that play that he – no, we're not seeing
it. He's doing a lot. He's blocking well. He's doing a lot of things well. But don't get me wrong. He's playing
well. He's not the Kelce that we understand.
Not
as a pass catcher or a playmaker. However, the stat with the most interceptions, right now we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes, anybody who throws that many interceptions would certainly have a problem with your football team. However, it's still on the other end. He's doing a lot of things right. And the other thing is, quite frankly, you bring up the Ravens. I am so jealous of the Ravens. I am so jealous that they got Derrick Henry. I just, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, picture Derrick Henry on the roster of the Kansas City Chiefs, and where would you be? But I can tell you right now, he is doing so much better than I really thought. I mean, I was buying into the age thing, and he, maybe he's getting up there. He's a running back. I mean, he's had a lot of wear and tear on his body. But, man, oh, man, that guy. I'll tell you what, you talk about Lamar Jackson being player of the year. I'm not so sure I couldn't make a case at this point with Derrick Henry as the MVP, because Lamar Jackson may not be having the year that he would be having if it weren't for Derrick Henry. So I'm very jealous of that. But I get your point. I get your point on that. And right now this is a Patrick Mahomes show. It's him. It's who he is. He doesn't have Rice. He doesn't have Pacheco. He doesn't have, I was going to say Kelce. He has Kelce, but Kelsey's not, it's not the same thing as we've seen in the past. So this is going to be somewhat of a creation of Patrick Mahomes, how he does it, how the staff puts together. It's going to be fascinating to watch and see how this is done. Because
it is. They're actually still a good matchup for the Ravens because the Chiefs can stop the run, right? Still a good matchup. I still like that matchup.
Well,
I don't want apathy to set in to just say, man, they're good enough. They're 6-0. They're gonna do whatever, because last year's team was 6-1, and then the wheels fell off. Just a reminder.
I remember.
Just a reminder that it can, like, for as much, this is the NFL, right? The ultimate law of averages league. Everything has gone right for the Chiefs on the field, not off the field. They're losing players right and left. They don't have a left tackle that they trust. Like, all of these things are in there. I just don't think you need to sit on your laurels and say, it's the Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes, they'll be fine. Last year, you didn't really have a choice. The trade deadline had come and gone, right? But they weren't dealing with the kinds of injuries they're dealing with this year either. It's an injury problem. As we get the news yesterday, Paul, that Watson is going to probably be out for a long time, if not all of the time. And Juju, that hamstring flared up, and he's going to be out a while. Andy Reid already ruled him out. So, okay, now you're going into a game. You're starting with Worthy, who we know is not a possession receiver. Worthy is barely being used right now. Okay, so you have him. We're going to go Watson now, Mecole Hardman. Travis Kelce's not. Now, I will also say they're utilizing tight ends in a different way, and they're a really good running team, right? Their interior line is, if it's not the best in football, find me a better one, because I think it is. And they've got Kareem Hunt, and that style of football is lending itself and been such a nice complement to the way that they play defense that, yeah, they'll be fine. Like, they're still the favorite. I wouldn't pick against them, but that doesn't mean they can't be better, Paul. And that's what I look at. Like, why would you not go do anything you can do to get a little bit better when we're only in the eighth week of the NFL? So we're not even halfway home, and you already are dealing with all these injuries. You think they're going to make it the rest of the way without any more injuries of significance? Because I doubt it, right? And they're already up against that. Well, I think they need to be pretty aggressive over the next 2 weeks.
And something tells me they probably will, because, you know, I'm not sure that they're thinking they can go to the bank with what they've got right now. Something's got to be done. Something's got to be done with some speed, with some possession receivers. I mean,
I think they've got the speed. I think they need the possession receiver. If Juju's not there, and I thought that would hurt them more in the Niners game, and then the Niners lost all their players in the middle of the game, and the defense played just an unbelievable game for the Chiefs. I think not having Juju is going to hurt Mahomes. I think not having somebody out there that he absolutely knows he can get to in a third down situation, like whatever it is, because if that's not Kelce, if teams continue to take that away, and they are, I mean, or maybe it's Noah Gray. I don't think it's Watson. Like, I don't know who that player is, and that's always been an important thing for Mahomes to have.
Correct.
And I don't know. And by the way, I don't know that you can just go find that either. But if they go make a trade this week, that player you need to be thinking about as a contributor in the postseason. You still got to get there. You'd like him to come along quickly. And we saw Amari Cooper score a touchdown with Buffalo in kind of limited action. Like, those guys will ramp up. I just don't think the Chiefs should sit still here. I know they're 6-0. They were 6-1 last year. I can promise you, Paul, if something like last year happened and they're good and they lost, like, let's say they lose 4-6, and I don't think they will, but let's say they lose 4-6 like they did a year ago, I can promise you the same people right now that are saying they're fine, it's that they won't be saying that 6 weeks from now. They'll be panicking. And all of the reasons why this is very much a team that can win a Super Bowl as currently constructed and is the favorite to do so still exist. Doesn't mean can't get better, right? Doesn't mean you can't get better. They have an aggressive GM. After watching the Ravens last night, knowing that they're getting better defensively and have turned into one of the better run-stopping teams in football at the same time as are boasting this offense that they have, I think you got to stack yourself up against them at minimum, right? You got to look there at minimum and think about how that looks in the postseason. It's still a good matchup for the Chiefs because they stop the run well.
Right.
And if you can stop Derrick Henry, you feel good. But, man, they have a lot of weapons now. Bateman looks good. They still have Zay Flowers. Both their tight ends are going now. Andrews finally unlocked a little bit last night. And then Henry has that closing ability. If the Ravens stop the Chiefs running game, what do you do at that point? And I think it's perfectly okay to right now look at things that way and try to evaluate what you could do over the next 2 weeks based really on what they're doing.
Well, part of the good news is next week you got Las Vegas, and that, you know, they're not the greatest team in the world. That should be a team that I believe
who beat the Ravens, by the way.
Well, I know that, but they're 2-5. I mean, they've not played.
Yeah, they stink.
They're not that good. And of course, the old axiom: anybody can beat anybody in the NFL. The worst team.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's face it. That's why there's such a thing as a bookie in Las Vegas, is because anybody can beat anybody, and that's the charm of the whole thing. But you're catching a break playing Las Vegas. But it gives a chance to get to the point where the Chiefs are trying to answer some of these questions, figure out some of these things, work out an option or two that would be beneficial to the roster. It's hard because all the good players are on rosters already, Jacob. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, you got to make a trade. You got to go. And that's the thing.
You
got to
go. You got to go. That's where the players are. Go ahead.
I don't think they're making a Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper type of move. I don't think they should. I don't think they need to. I don't think it's necessary. But I do think you could look around the league and do something to try to find a little help. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You're not going to find a left tackle. You're kind of going to have to just roll with what you've got there. And quite frankly, even as those two guys have struggled a little bit, they've been able to work around that for the most part. And you can give credit to Mahomes for that. The quick pass game, all the things they can do to help with that. You're not finding that help on the trade market at left tackle. Teams don't trade left tackles. But there are plenty of teams with receivers that they just don't need right now. There just are. And so look around. Who's a fit, right? We need a possession receiver that can acclimate quickly. We need a smart player that can run all the routes, right? You got to have them run all the routes. Even if they're like, that's the thing. Juju's perfect for it. Like, he's the perfect guy. But now he's hurt again.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's older, and it's soft tissue. And so, how much are you going to have him down the stretch? Mm-hmm. Like, he's the perfect guy. Go try to find somebody that replicates him. Right, that type of player and see if you can get him. All you got to do is have him acclimated by week 17, Paul. Like, you don't have to have him acclimated by week eight.
That's right. That's
you know what I mean? Like, it's not about that. It would be nice if they could help you right away. That's icing on the cake. But the reality is anything that the Chiefs do should be aimed at the postseason. The good news for them is they built in a little bit of a cushion here. They have a three-game advantage on the Ravens. So, you know, for the Chiefs to not be ahead of the Ravens at minimum in the standings, you got to imagine them at least losing three games and the Ravens winning all the rest of their games. Ravens probably aren't winning all the rest of their games. So the Chiefs get to maintain this three-game advantage. They've got two games in the win-loss column and the tiebreaker right now. That's fantastic news. Mm-hmm. You'd love playing that game at Arrowhead, even though they won it in Baltimore last year. That's fantastic news. Again, nothing they need to do or should do would be out of desperation, but just out of why not? Why not go get a little bit better? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, deep down, we all know that improvement has to be made. I mean, deep down, what are the chances of winning a third Super Bowl stacked the way you are right now? Well, I think it would be very, very difficult.
Well, it is, but they're still, and I'll look right now. Let me go look at the betting odds. But I would still pick them to win the Super Bowl. So don't misunderstand. Like, and they are, yes, they are the odds-on favorite. Quite a bit more than the Ravens. And then the Lions predictably are third. You know, they're still the odds on favorite, and I think they should be. I would still pick them to win the Super Bowl. I just think you can, if you can get a little better, get a little bit better.
But they're not dominating, and that's part of the problem. I mean, we've seen through the course of these six wins. I mean, how many 1-point wins? I don't have it in front of me, but how many 1-point wins? At least two or three 1-point wins. I mean, this is a team that's 6-0.
And that's okay.
But they could be 3-3. They could be 3-3.
Yeah, to me, they could be, but that's a part of what makes the team great is the fact that they are 6-0 despite all of it. And Andy Reid was asked about that yesterday, and that's not by accident, by the way, either. They're not lucky. They're good at that. They're good at getting messy and ugly and sloppy. I told you after week two or three, I was like, the Chiefs are totally comfortable with this, by the way. Like, they're fine. They're just fine having the game on the line late and being able to go put it away. Like, that is their DNA, the way they're currently constructed, because they know their defense can get them a stop, and they know Patrick Mahomes is always going to make a big play. Always. Mm. Like, they're fine with it. And I think they still are.
Yeah. And
Andy Reid talked about that yesterday, and when he was asked about, like, winning the close games, he pointed to, like, the intangible stuff. He was like, that starts with everybody in that locker room being on the same page.
Right, right.
Everybody in that locker room having like an unbelievable amount of trust with each other, right, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that was, we saw that. That's how they won a Super Bowl last year. So we know they can. Mm-hmm. Of course they can do it. They're the odds-on favorite for a reason. But yep. I still think they should go try to get a little depth because the injuries just keep piling up. Two more yesterday. My goodness, like at some point, I mean, at some point, it's too many. And so
I got you, big boy. I got you.
869-1240, the IHOP hotline's open for you. You can also find us on our video streams. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, and X, for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Always appreciate everybody being here. One more on the Chiefs top of the next hour. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, is coming in. We'll pose this question to him. Basically what we've been talking about. Let's stick in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa is going to start this week. It looks like. Should he? How good can the Dolphins be? Is there still time for them to be a contender if Tua's there? We'll talk about all of that when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. You can tune in right here on KFH tonight at 6 for the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and Chiefs Kingdom Show. It's available right here or on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of Chiefs Kingdom, Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, the executive producer, joins us top of the next hour, so stay tuned for that. Between now and then, Paul, Tua appears to be on his way back this weekend. He still has to clear concussion protocol, but he can't do that until he starts practicing, which he's expected to do this week. It was bad again. The concussions keep piling up for him. I think we all know the risk in that. I think nobody knows the risk in that more than Tua Tagovailoa, and he's choosing to play. Got no issue with him making that decision for himself. It's his decision to make, Paul. The protocols, the procedures are in place. If he clears them and he wants to play and he's okay with the risk, it's his choice to make.
Well, who am I to say what is right and what is wrong? But I know this. A lot of bad things can happen with concussions, and I fear for that. We know that, and the problem, Jacob, is while we know a lot about the situation of a concussion, we don't know what's in the future for concussions. Now, right now, if he was to walk away from the game, he just signed before the season started a $214 million a year contract. I don't remember exactly what the guarantee was, but it was like 90 or 100 million was guaranteed no matter what. So here's a situation where money is not obviously the reason why he wants to play. It's love of the game. Who doesn't love the game? I love the game. I mean, you know, we all make these decisions. Whether the I broke a wrist, I was told if I played again, if I hurt that wrist while I was playing, I might lose the flexibility of my wrist and not ever be able to move my wrist. You know what I did? I played. Because that's what guys do. They play. They want to play.
Well, it's not even just football. Well, it's anything. You know, whatever it is, whatever your passion is, if it's taken from you, you're probably going to do everything that you can to still be able to do it.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And so the risk is his and his alone and his family's. I mean, I hope that maybe we can put him in one of those big old crazy helmet things that they're putting on some helmets now. And, you know, you can do some of that, but it's his risk to take. I can't say that I would do the same thing. I'm not sure what I would do.
Can I ask you a question? You mind if I ask a question? His head coach, Mike McDaniels, and Tua, I'm sure, had a conversation. I want to put you in the shoes of Mike McDonald. What would you do if Tua walks into your office and you're going to discuss this whole situation? What would your advice be to Tua? The one answer you can't give is that it's up to you. I'm saying, would you? And I want it affirmed. Would you say play? Don't play. Not it's your decision.
What? I'm not going to tell him what to do. Number one. So that is the answer. It's your decision to make. And I would tell him that we're going to be just fine. Whatever decision that you make, we're going to fully support you. Whatever decision that you make, he said after the injury. Tua's got a bigger responsibility as a dad than he does as a quarterback. And so he's made it pretty clear where he lands on that. But I'm not going to tell somebody what to do like that, because I don't think it's any – and I know people want – but that's not our – we don't get that privilege to tell somebody what to do with their life. If he wants to take that risk – he can take that risk.
Gosh, what would you say to your son? What would you tell your son to do? Because is that a different deal? Because
I think it's a different deal.
I'm concerned about.
I think it's a different deal. I would say, son, you don't need the money. You don't need the fame.
Yes.
You don't have anything to prove. You've got a family. I just want you to be, you know, healthy and alive. But I'm also not going to say, son, I'm not going to allow you to play football, or I think you're an idiot if you do. I mean, at some point, we all take risks. Do you? It's so hard to compare it to things because people will say, well, it's just a game. But if it's your passion, if it's your livelihood, if it's your living, it's more than that. And people take risks all the time. People take physical risks in what they choose to do for a living all the time. And he's choosing, if he plays, to take a pretty big risk. He made it through the entire year last year without any issues. I don't know what you can do. Now, if I were McDaniel, I would say, all right, we're welcoming you back, but you're going to get in one of those, helmet things, these big, massive helmets.
It's a helmet cover.
Yep, that's going on. Like, if you're going to play, you're going to play with that thing on, because I'm not going to sit here and watch guy on the field. So that's going to happen. Like, you're going to have to do that, and you know, you're going to have to promise me that you will stop scrambling. We don't need that. We don't need that first down that bad. Yeah, I know that changes your game, but I'm going to take that away from you. No, I'm going to go to my offensive coordinator and say he better not ever run the ball. And if I'm talking to two, I say you better not scramble. If you do anything but slide again, you're going on the bench. Like, I'll bench you the next play and you'll be out.
I respect that from you. I do totally respect that, Jacob.
That kind of stuff you can do.
I respect you for that one.
But you can't tell him he can't play.
I was prepared to tell him. That's me. I was prepared to say that.
Well, I sure get
what you're saying.
Like,
I really do.
Do you feel like McDaniel owns any responsibility to Tua's well-being? Because I do not at all. If something bad happens to Tua, that is in no way.
And I don't know. That's not the way coaches work.
Try to blame the Dolphins. Like, no. Tua's making this choice.
Not the
Dolphins.
No.
The Dolphins made it very clear that they support him if he chose to step away.
I have told players.
This ain't a Dolphins
thing. I have told players in professional football, retire. Stop playing. My players, my position kids, don't come back. Don't play again. I worry about you. Am I out of line on that? I don't think so, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt that has the potential of getting hurt. I've stepped in and said don't play before, Jacob.
I get it. I get it. But I think it's Tua's choice to make.
It's everybody's choice. I don't have the right to do that, really and truly, do I? I really don't.
Protect him as much as you can. And
that's it.
And
well, that's what I'm trying to do.
He's got to know the risk he's taking.
You gotta
let's come back. We're going to get Dan Israel in. I want to ask him what he thinks after the Ravens game last night, after we get the news on Jalen Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Are the Chiefs good to just kind of roll through, or is the pressure intensifying for them to do something?
Good question.
Dan Israel, that question and all of it when we return. Hour number two of Sports Daily. It's all brought to Paul Savage. We'll be right back.